Hey, so I think we should talk about, maybe how people can get involved in this political arena. I recently wrote a book, Organizing to Win, and it's all about how people can get involved locally, make a difference. I think there's a lot of talk about, democracy these days and kind of fighting for democracy. And I had gotten involved in a young age, had been a kind of a campaign staffer, volunteer, had run for office myself, eventually got involved in party leadership. And I thought about 2 years ago, there's this big conversation about new people stepping up and getting involved, and I should document some of the lessons that I've learned. It's all about getting involved locally and how you can make a difference locally. We do a lot of talking and complaining, but what can we do to be productive, to be effective, to maybe move legislators or move elected officials, and to ultimately think about maybe running for office ourselves?
So something I'm kind of curious about, have you, how long have you been doing this kind of advocacy for this, I guess, online?
I started doing advocacy, I think, before I even realized it was advocacy. Just at an early age, you start thinking about things, you care about things, you find yourself speaking out or posting or attending meetings, and all of that is actually really good efforts to kind of help your own local democracy. And sometimes we focus on national stuff and national news, and that's really important. And it all starts at home, electing good people locally, getting involved in local boards, commissions, having a say locally. So I got involved in a local mayor's campaign in my town. I then ran for office successfully many times over in my town. And I was really kind of bit by the political bug because I realized, you actually can make a difference if you get involved locally. I started working for others in politics, and eventually, I'm a Democrat. I thought, the party needed some work as well. And so I got involved then in party leadership at the state level. State level, and then through the Democratic National Committee. And ultimately, it all kind of converged in this idea of a book called Organizing to Win to really get people to think about how you could get involved and make a difference and ultimately run for office. Because there really wasn't a place where this was all documented. There's fragments, there's podcasts, there's maybe a writing or an article here or there. And I also find there's not always a ton of mentorship in politics about people kind of saying, come on in. Usually an elected official, might succeed, but then what are we doing to really grow the party, grow campaigns, bring people in? So the book is very much from the perspective of more mentorship is needed, more resources are needed to train people who might be interested in politics or maybe a little curious about how do I get involved? How do I make the first step getting involved in this political arena?
So one of the reasons why I asked about the like how long have you been doing kind of the more online advocacy is because I've brought this book up a lot and I've chatted with the author before, so it's kind of a meme in my community, but I'm just curious, do you know who Eaton Hirsch is?
I feel like I've heard that name.
So it's just kind of funny because he has a book called Politics is for Power, and he runs through, he basically tells like six short stories, all true stories about how different members of local society like were able to gain like a shocking amount of political power by having starting with one person like very intentionally putting their mind towards something, and then if you can build a coalition of like 5 to 10 people, there is like a shocking amount of political power if you guys are all like of single-minded purpose that you can get on the local level. So I bring this up and then I ask you about the online thing because one of the huge difficulties that you run into in online spaces where you hope you're politically effective. Now, I know that a lot of people don't care much about politics. They kind of just cover it and make money off of it. But at the end of the day, I mean, I would like to see the people that I support elected. I would like to see the policies that I support enacted. But one of the challenges is that the most amount of power that an individual can wield is at the local level. And man, everybody online, and even in the real world, sometimes seems to only care about the federal level stuff, even if it's stuff that like the federal level has no real control over. Like a lot of the BLM marches over like policing stuff all comes down to oftentimes not even the state level, but like the city level. So I was curious if you've ever ran into that. How do you get people to move off a little bit from the national level stuff where it feels like we can join these huge conversations about would we rather have Gavin Newsom or AOC as our political party leader versus on the local level where you can't talk to like online friends or communities about it and it's a much more real life thing. How do you have any luck moving people in that direction, or what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, definitely. I know. See, it's like the presidential campaigns and presidential politics. It's the most sexy thing. It's what we want to talk about. We all want to opine over, an election years to come. And what right now, democracy is at risk. And there is obviously a lot of conversation around what can we do right now. But it's also about step by step and starting locally. So right now, You may not be able to change the president of the United States, but the steps you take right now in the election year that we're in right now helps us improve and party build and grow year to year to year. That's that party building that I often think is not emphasized enough. You know, an election doesn't just turn on and then turn off a couple of weeks around election day. The book talks about kind of this idea that we really need to be having year-round organizing. It's not enough to just flick a switch, candidate goes out there a couple of weeks, phones in election day, and then it's over. It's always being engaged in communities, building rapport with voters, finding out what's important to them. And that's really important at the state and local levels, where you might then get really good people that are running for office, running for something locally. And what's interesting is that because, you know, the president and Congress has not been able to achieve much, much of what they've done has been more funding that can be corrected in the future. A lot of it has fallen to the states and to localities, you know, creating their own policies, ordinances, states testing out different programs. So completely focused on national and national politics. But there is so much power in a local government, in a state government, in a county government as well, which many states have. And those are the efforts that really create our democracy. It's not only about, you know, the president of the United States, as powerful as that person is. It is about the people who are making the rules locally. And then that can build up as new people are getting involved in local and state politics and advocacy and staffing. That then can be, those are the leaders of the future. Those are the people that are running for those federal offices. But I always tell candidates too, it's not just about, you know, talking about national issues. You know, you're running for mayor, you're running for a state office. You need to localize these issues. What do people care about in your own district? And run on those local issues, because that's what really makes the day and what really counts with voters.
Yeah. I definitely agree. Yeah, it's hard to communicate that sometimes, especially me being like a, because I'm like a national, international like level thing, where my fans are obviously from all over the world, or at the very least all over the United States. So sometimes it's hard to fixate on a particular district outside of, you know, like New York City. Obviously people will care for a particular city or whatever. But yeah, it can be frustrating sometimes to get people to care about the local level when there's so much stuff that happens there that's really important, I think. One thing that's kind of, that was very hard for me to understand when I got involved more with kind of canvassing on behalf of candidates and working with local groups or whatever. And you can tell me, I guess, if this is your experience or if you feel like this might be different in different areas. You mentioned before like how important mentorship is and the lack of it in these areas. One thing that seemed really shocking to me working with candidates from like the city level to the federal level is sometimes I feel like when an operation is stood up for some kind of campaigning, there's a lot of stuff that feels like it's being rebuilt like every single time. And my impression walking into some of these areas, especially in the federal level, would be like, hey, you want to go like door knock or do this? Well, here are your official lists. Here are the official scripts. Here are like the training videos. Here's how everybody does this, blah, blah, blah. But it's more just like, you know, you pay van or minivan or whatever for some doors that may or may not be updated and may or may not have been knocked by somebody. And it's like, and then you're on your own. It's like, Jesus, there's like nothing. Like it feels like every single time they were building from nothing. Is that the same on the Republican side, or do you speak at all to like, I guess, like, how do you, yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Sorry, these are very broad questions also, sorry, yeah.
No, I love it, absolutely. Anyone that has door knocked, I think, just felt you right there. You're like, I'm going to get involved in a campaign, and there's going to be rooms full of volunteers. I'm going to have slick technology. It's going to be like I see on TV. Mm-hmm. And then you get there, and it's like you and a clipboard in a back road of town by yourself. And you're like, what did I sign up for? And campaigns are often reinventing the wheel every time. And that's not smart. That's not efficient. And so having parties and also campaigns really always be ongoing. And that doesn't mean that they're always kind of politicking, but that just means that they're always listening to people. They're always engaged in their communities. So mayors, those in local office, even state office, you know, constantly having an operation when you're in touch with people, you're listening to people. Imagine a knock at your door in the spring where it's a team or a person and they're actually not asking for a vote, but they're asking about what you think about a particular issue or maybe a development or something going on in town. Now you're building a rapport with that voter. And then as the year goes on, as election time comes around, you actually have relationships with many of these voters because you've done community organizing, you've had a sense of kind of where they're coming from, and it's not transactional. Moving campaigns away from this kind of, I'm going to knock on your door in September and ask you for your vote, but thinking about, wow, they actually, their campaign team has come to my door a couple times this year. That shows interest. That's a campaign. That's a movement that can help political parties so that we're really kind of continuing a constant conversation year to year and building candidates and building efforts and real community building, rather than, right, these very transactional campaigns that I think voters are tired of. You know, the word authenticity is overused, if anything, right? But what does that mean? That means that people actually care, that the candidate and that their campaign team is actually knocking and kind of engaged with you. And I do think it's the same in terms of kind of the nuts and bolts, depending on your party. I do think Democrats tend to focus more on a field effort. And for those wondering what that is, that, you know, that is the door knocking. Traditionally, Democrats have been the one to go out, pound the pavement, knock on doors, go into apartment buildings, you know, really connect with people. But both parties have efforts where they're reaching out to people. And I think that's really important. And more often than talking, candidates and campaign teams should be listening. What are people saying? You could learn a lot just by door knocking and being out in your community and listening to what they're saying. You may pick up on something that's maybe bubbling up as an issue, mm-hmm. because you're out there every day and you're hearing it from voters.
Gotcha. Cool. So for your book, I guess, and for the type of advocacy that you're doing now, what exactly is it that you're trying to push people towards, I guess? Is it to volunteer for local parties? Is it to start their own type of thing? Is it a particular insertion point that you think is important? I guess, like, how do you talk about it, or what guidance are you kind of trying to offer people right now?
Yeah, you know, I thought, it's all about entering the political arena. This is it right here. So when I wrote it, it's about organizing to win the art and science of running for office. I ultimately want people to think about running for office yourself. But even if people say, I'm not ready to run for office, or I don't see myself as somebody running for office yet, I think more people should enter the political arena in a tangible way. You might throw up a social media post or have an opinion, but what can you do about that? So it's about getting people to get acclimated to how a political campaign works. And I pull back the curtain on campaigns, on parties, get involved, volunteer. Then you might want to become a staff member for the campaign, being a campaign manager, really organizing. And it takes a look at electoral politics. It also takes a look at some issue-based politics, because every town or city is often having a referendum or working on some sort of education or development issue. So it takes a holistic view to issues that you see in every town in America and in every state, how you can get involved, how you can campaign, how you could be an activist, an advocate, a lobbyist. There's a lot in that space too. You might even work for a firm that's doing good lobbying on behalf of something. Or you might say, I want to volunteer because I really believe in such and such an issue that's coming up at the state level, whether it's about a choice issue or development or different civil rights issues or voting rights. How do you organize that campaign then? How do you know how to approach legislators? What even is a legislator? So I start very basic, locally, and then as you read through the book, it kind of grows through local, through state, ending with a federal perspective, because as we said at the top, it's not just about the president of the United States. That is the leader of the free world, but there is so much before you get to that point. And if we don't have people involved, it's a scary thing. Mm-hmm. Our local elections are 3 out of 10. That means 3 out of 10 people at best are voting in a local election. That's a problem. When people are generally displeased with government, they're generally not happy. You can look at any poll, and then you see turnout declining. We need more people to get involved, to realize not only does your vote matter, but then you yourself should volunteer, manage a campaign, kind of get involved, and ultimately think about running for office. And the book is a how-to style, so it's not a memoir, though I include a lot of personal stories, but it ultimately is explaining, how do you get involved? What are the first steps you should take? Who are the right people to meet? What are the meetings you should go to? Literally, I outline this, starting locally. And then how do you have a field effort? How do you fundraise for a local race? How do you message? How do you deal with the tax and scheduling? So I really wanted to teach people in a how-to way, how do you go about doing this work so that maybe we could get more people to activate and to get involved in this political arena.
Okay. Well, I see this comment is popping up a lot. I just wanted to address this real quick. You can give feedback on this too if you have a different take, but I saw one guy say, please find me an average voter who is excited about political advocates visiting their homes multiple times a year. This other guy said, don't people hate door knockers though, speaking from experience? One thing in the online world is I feel like we select for a very particular type of person, especially in my world. It's going to be younger people, you know, gamer type, nerd type, or whatever. In my personal opinion, or my personal experience rather, when I run into especially younger people, they either don't open the door or they're maybe sometimes indifferent, maybe annoyed if somebody's like got a kid with them. Older people love to talk though. Oh my God. If you open the door, or if like a 50-year-old plus person opens the door and you've got questions or whatever, these people are fountains of opinions that they will sit there and shower you with. Maybe some would be annoyed, but I think people would be surprised when it comes to older people how eager they are to chat with somebody who shows up with a clipboard and wants to ask them a few questions. But that's my experience. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true, and I totally appreciate the sentiments. Like, and I actually talk about this in the book, how we're all, you know, noses in the phones. A leaf blowing past the door or the apartment triggers the Ring doorbell to go off if there's motion. You know, a ring of the doorbell is not as welcome as it used to be. Packages get delivered. We're not really used to that kind of person to person, and that's been declining post COVID and all the rest. And I actually talk about some research in the book. Mm-hmm. Having said that, still to this day, the most effective way to earn someone's vote, more than a phone call, more than a postcard, more than a piece of mail, more than an email, certainly more than a social media post, it is person to person on their doorstep still. And so, yes, while it's probably more effective for those over a certain age, I've knocked on many doors where you think this is not going to go well. People don't want to hear from me. I'm running for office. Everyone will say, I can't remember the last time a candidate or a campaign knocked on my door. And there really is an appreciation that you're doing the work, you're spending the time. Now, look, if you are a Democrat in a Democratic city, chances are you're going to do very well. If you're a Republican in a Republican town, and it's been that way for 50 years, those things can be partisan in your favor. But if you're dealing with a town that maybe is hard fought, more purple, right? Kind of a race where you actually need to work. Voters typically do appreciate that the campaign is actually doing the work, and that has a multiplier effect. They will tell others that you came to their door or your campaign came to their door. It has an effect to say, wow, I met that candidate. Someone that might be very leery of you because of who you are or your political party might speak with you, and they might not give you a lot to work with. Mm-hmm. But then they might see maybe you were written about in the paper. They see a face, or they see a social media post. They see something online about it. Maybe they get a robocall from you. And it all starts to connect. And they say, you know, I did meet that guy. And actually, I kind of liked him. And now I'm seeing him kind of pop up everywhere. And that kind of like being everywhere vibe is very helpful from a voter perspective, because now they're saying, wow, they're clearly doing something right. This candidate keeps popping up before me. And I'm talking local. I'm not talking running for president. I'm talking in a local election. That's very powerful. And so when they've had the opportunity to say, you know, I met with him and he made a lot of sense, now you've just gotten a vote. And there's a lot of people who are just hands off. They think everyone in politics is the worst. They say, I don't do politics. But guess what? That doesn't stop politics from happening to them. And so there eventually could be a realization that, you know what? Maybe, though I've never voted or haven't voted in the last couple of years locally, kind of like that candidate. And suddenly you have activated that voter by reaching out to them. You should still do above all approach. You should still play everywhere. But door knocking does work.
Okay. Is there anything in particular, I guess, that you want to chat or go over, I guess? I don't have too much, I guess, in terms of questions for that. But
Yeah. No, so I mean, and... No, tell me about your experience. So do you say you've door knocked for campaigns too?
Yeah, I tried to, because there's a lot of stuff that happens on the online area where it doesn't like translate much to real life stuff. I think especially because people in my position, we just make money making YouTube videos and covering stuff. And at the end of the day, a lot of us are largely isolated or insulated from the effects of whatever crazy policy the administration has. And then I think, unfortunately, that's even true sometimes for a lot of the viewers in these spaces, because again, they tend to be wealthier, they tend to be whiter, they tend to be younger. So there's not as many things that are super pressing in our lives politically. So I tried to, or I got in touch with people who would basically allow me to basically get 200 or 300 fans to show up at a hotel. We would all get like minivan lists. We would do, you know, an hour of training, and then we would just have people go out and knock tens of thousands of doors over some of these campaign cycles for, you know, different political people. The first one, I think, the first big one we did was for Ossoff and Warnock for their runoff elections in their Senate. And then we did a lot for a local, we tried to support like a local mayoral campaign in Omaha, which is a city that I'm from. And then we've done, yeah, just like other stuff, basically anything that involves getting people to show up to a place and then go out and door knock, interact with voters. Anything related to that, just to try to get people more politically activated, like actually politically activated in a way that plugs into our political system. Yeah.
Right. Definitely. And a lot, those are great races. Thanks for working on those, because those were not all slam dunks. So, you know, for the people that think, you know, maybe none of this works, it has an effect on people. Again, I recognize that a lot of people are cynical. A lot of voters are cynical. Mm-hmm. But when you have a candidate who can break through that and who can say, I'm out here, I'm working, I'm in your community, I'm running for an authentic reason. There's something that I really want to do or make better or improve, and I'm out here and I'm working hard for it. That has a multiplier effect, you know, in a community. And for communities that have been forgotten, people feel that they've been forgotten by this administration or by generally, you know, elected officials. As a candidate that's out there working and having a field effort and out there with volunteers and building something and connecting to a community, it really can kind of awaken your community. And I've known so many races that have literally won by a handful of votes. So, you know, you can look back at the voter reels and say, who voted, who didn't? I know candidates that have lost by 3 or 4 votes and that have won by 10 or 11 votes. So these races are still so tight, and with so few people voting, there's so much power. And of course, the highest vote count always comes from, you know, senior citizens, but the Gen Z and millennials, when taken together, are the largest voting block now. So there is such power in these generations to get involved and to vote, because they, if they voted, they have the most commanding vote block nationwide. And that will continue to be the case, you know, state by state as time goes on. So there's a lot of power there. And my hope is that people see getting involved, advocacy, maybe even running locally and finding ways to get involved in the government. And you could be the change that you so wish to see, you know, in a local government. It's not sexy, as you might see on TV, but the work that you do is so important, especially if you're from a town and you really care about that town, or maybe you move to a town and you're more interested in kind of how this town functions, to find ways to get involved in local boards and to do good work. And there are young candidates that are winning, you know, that are running and that are winning across the country.
Mm-hmm. I think that one thing, two things on that. One thing that's very frustrating is when you look at how the country should be ran, I think when you first get into politics or political commentary, at least, the first thing you do is you look at like national polls and you're like, okay, well, why don't we have this policy? And it's because we don't have, you try to invent some reason or you have an excuse because it's like, well, 60% of Americans want this thing. And then you realize, okay, well, actually it's more of a state by state thing. So you have to look at like granularly, well, how do the states feel about these things? Because you've got your Senate. And then for some policies, it's like, well, this is a state level thing. So then you have to see how the state feels, and you have to go to the cities. And as you get more and more granular, the number of people involved decreases. And then something that becomes very apparent that a lot of people don't realize is at the end of the day, politicians are responsive to people who vote. Not who are polled, and you know, not who are polled in other areas. And so, you know, there are certain areas where, you know, people are like, I don't understand why policing isn't being changed as much, or I don't understand why schools are so unaffordable, and you know, yada yada. And it's like, well, people don't vote from that are the most affected in these demographics. If you think about who the most likely person to vote is, you know, somebody over the age of 50 or 60 is not having adversarial confrontations with police that often. It just doesn't really happen that often. And they don't care about student loans. They're way past that point in their life. So the idea that politicians are going to be responsive to the needs or the desires of younger people, well, why would they be? They're not going to win elections that way because those demographics historically don't vote as much. And especially at the local election, like you said, it could be thousands, hundreds, or dozens of votes sometimes where some of these even generals are won. At the city level, if younger people took a more organized interest in these areas, I think there's a surprising amount of political change that could happen on a small local level. And then hopefully, ideally, that percolates up to larger elections. You know, it's not perfect world, but yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. You said it. Absolutely. You know, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think, well, they, you know, those in office don't care about what I think, I'm checking out. In checking out, you are not putting yourself on the board. And so that's why advocates are so important, that write the letters, make a phone call, ask for a meeting, pursue in respectful ways getting your point across. Because if those in office know that you care about this issue, you actually represent many other people in a particular area, a ward, a district, a council seat, right? You now are coming with many other people. Mm-hmm. That now shows that you've got some political power. And this is not hard actually to do, because we're talking at a local level. If you care about something, chances are someone else in your district does too. You could very easily, I talk in the book how one person, the first person to start something, can make all the difference. Once you start a working group, one becomes three, becomes five, becomes 10. That's a lot of people. That has a multiplier effect on a particular issue. And so by just getting involved in really small, tangible ways, you're communicating to them, I care about this. I don't want this to be passed. I want this for education. I want this on a choice issue. I want this on the environment. It's all sorts of issues. But by advocating, you're showing people are with me on this, and we vote, and we're going to care about this issue. And you're now putting yourself on the board and making yourself matter to elected officials. And as you say, I get it. You know, they're thinking about What am I doing to maintain, you know, a general sense of popularity? You don't need to have 100% popularity, but most elections are 50% plus one. So to stay above that, and as Gen Z and as millennials are coming in as the largest voting bloc, care about issues and work on something. It could be any issue that you care about, but I've seen it. I've seen state administrations pull back on an issue once they got feedback, or go for an issue based on really well-organized campaigns at a state level, certainly at a city level, which is even smaller. You know, a couple hundred people can make a big difference depending on the size of a city, but just getting that level of activism, and the book goes through different ways that you really can form a campaign. Running a campaign for someone running for office is not unlike running a campaign maybe on an issue, an mm-hmm. advocacy issue.
Yeah.
And it really makes all the difference to let people know that you do represent a voting bloc, and you care about this, and you're going to continue to track this issue.
Yeah, definitely. What else? Sorry, normally I'm normally very adversarial, like debate type content, so I'm not in the...
Oh, I know, you're agreeing so much.
Very much, yeah. I guess what motivated you to, I guess, reach out to chat with me? Is it just kind of to kind of bring awareness to this type of message, or...
Definitely. I was at... So I ran for the... Here's where you may disagree, but no. I ran for the DNC.
Okay.
I thought, you know, you can't just complain about these things. You got to put yourself out there. So the new DNC chair opened up some DNC seats and actually let members vote for it. What an idea, right? To let members vote rather than DNC members being appointed. And I ran for it, and I got elected. And so your name actually came up in just going to DNC meetings from some young folks, because I was talking to them about, we need to get more people involved. How do we do that? What are the ways in which we could really get people to plug in? And I was thinking about this book the last 2 years, and I ultimately went for it, and it just came out. And so, you know, your name had come up there as a way that this is for parties, this is for candidates, this is for issue-based things, for people to actually maybe get involved and maybe just go to your local, you know, political party meeting, or just go to your council meeting, because these meetings are going to continue whether you're there or not. Who is in these seats of these meetings? Who is the one advocating? Often no one's in the audience, mm-hmm. and it's just the elected members up front. And that makes all the difference, who is in the room and who is at the table. So your name had come up in my running and then serving on the Democratic National Committee, because I think a lot of these ideas can be applied nationwide. Even though I'm from Connecticut and New England, the book is not written in a way where it's only specific to Connecticut campaigns. And that was important for me too, because I didn't want it just to be about our Connecticut laws. So I talk about, especially with fundraising, because fundraising is so different in every state. But I think people make the assumption you need a lot of money to run for office. And that's also not always the case, especially for a local office. You really could do it on a shoestring budget, a couple of hundred bucks gets you lawn signs. I think that's a major misconception with politics, especially if you want to run locally. You necessarily do not need a huge amount of money. And so I talked about fundraising and ways to run in a way that it plays across the whole country, not just in New England, for people that might just want to learn a little bit about the political process.
Yeah, I think a lot of the doomerism is a little annoying when it comes to politics, because one thing that I think is true is there's a lot less money in politics in certain ways than people realize, and then there's a lot of money depending on what side you're on of things. But even for like a senator or a representative, like a $5,000 contribution will oftentimes get you like a dinner, or at the very least like a decent phone call with some of these people. And I think for a lot of people, they imagine, like, if I wanted to talk to a senator, that's got to be $1 million to a super PAC or something. And, you know, like you said, I'm talking right now at the federal level, the U.S. level. When you get to the state assemblies, some of these state assembly races are like less, like in the tens of thousands of dollars. And then the city races can be, like you said, on almost no budget. It can be a guy who's got an aunt and a grandma who really like making signs that you go and deliver in places. And yeah, sometimes, you know, people will look at the lack of participation at the local level. Like you said, you know, the votes are very thin and there's not much campaigning. And in a way, that's a problem. But in another way, it's kind of a big opportunity, especially with this young versus old thing. With that book that I referenced before, that Politics is for Power, one of the groups of people that the guy writes about, I don't remember the exact details, but it was a young group of students, and there was like an established local Democratic Party base, and they were all kind of older people, and the younger people were able to get together like 20 or 30 friends and then like outvote these other people at this particular committee. And they basically took over because they were willing to put some time, and they were young and they've got a school. So they got a ton of like classmates and everybody that they can draw from. And yeah, it's there if people are willing to go for it. But yeah, oftentimes, I guess, here's one of the confusing things, I guess, maybe you can speak to this. There's a lot of people sometimes who want to be activated. They want to go and do something. But like, where do you even start? If you're like a local person, you're like, I want to get involved somehow. Can you like outline kind of a somewhat specific path? Right? Because I'll always hear like, oh, well, like call a party or go to a board or whatever. But like, what does it actually look like? Like if I wanted to, or if somebody wanted to participate in some level on like a city level for their political scene?
Yeah, absolutely. I literally talk about it in the first pages of the book because I assume people know very little, right? And I want to explain it in a way where we start with the building blocks. If you wanted to get involved civically, mm-hmm. there's really so many ways. You need to think about what you're passionate about and get involved maybe in a local nonprofit. If you're interested in politics and you know your party, you do need to approach that party. Go to a meeting, go to a function. These political party members are technically elected officials. So it will be on file in your town hall or your city hall. But most parties do have a Facebook page or do have a website, do have some online persona to see when they meet. And you should absolutely find that out and then go. And you really just got to kind of show up. Showing up, I think, is the first thing to do. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. But when you go, I will almost guarantee you it will be a room full of people who have been there for 40 or 50 years. And you might be surprised. They might be looking for new people to come in and to get involved. And so the opportunity is right there for you if you just go to what's called a local Democratic town committee or a local Republican town committee. If you are in a state where you have very strong counties like New Jersey, that would be more of a county party. But literally going. Introducing yourself, just like you would go to a party with friends, right? This is just a different party. You just go, you feel it out. You could go with someone else because I understand that can be intimidating, but you just want to learn. You just want to feel out the group, see what they're up to, see what they're doing. They are meeting regularly, whether it's monthly or every other month, but there is regular meetings. On a year like this year, which is a midterm election, these parties are absolutely humming, working on their members of Congress campaigns and senator campaigns and so forth. Many governors are up as well. So they're activated, they're moving. So just showing up, being the first person to do something makes such a big difference. To literally look online, find out when they meet. If you really can't find it, you could go to your town or city hall. You could, maybe you know others. Chances are we always know people. We know others, someone's really, yeah. Mm-hmm. They know someone there, ask and just go. And I think that sometimes the feeling is that outsiders won't be welcomed. And that might be the case in some places. But I've done this for long enough, and I've seen small towns, big cities, and everything in between. Usually, the folks that are in that room, they are looking for new people to help. They do need the help. And so what are you good at? Are you really good at online organizing? Are you good at graphics? Are you good at writing? Pairing up what you like to do, what their needs are. Now suddenly you're in business and you're actually helping them. And before you know it, you're considered a leader of a group. These are all non-paid positions. These are all volunteer positions, chairs, town chairs, county chairs, local membership organizations that are humming along, helping getting, you know, candidates elected, and they could use the help. So just attending the meeting is very helpful. I talk about in the book, who are the right people to meet with. You know, meet with people who maybe have held office before. Find those mentors within that room. For me, I met an older gentleman who was the owner of a local hardware store, longtime Democrat, but he took me under his wing, and I really learned how the local party works, because even though there's commonalities across every political party function state by state, every town has its own personality and its own uniqueness, you know? So if you're not from the town you currently live in, meeting somebody who's from there who can kind of explain the way things work and how things go can just be helpful, just to kind of learn that color on the back end. But just showing up and going to that first meeting can make such a difference, seeing where their needs are, what you're good at, pair that together, and then start working on a campaign. And if you are there and you want to just scream because you are not happy with what they're working on, or you feel that they're working too slow, I feel you, but stick with it. Don't scream and walk away. Instead, just lean into the process, because before you know it, you can become a member and you'll be a party leader, and they'll be looking to you as the next generation to say, how can we do this? Because there's a lot of movement in these entities right now, and new people are stepping forward, and all these seats are yours if you get involved.
Mm-hmm. I've told this story on my stream a million times, so they're tired of hearing it. But the one thing that always surprised me was, one, I've heard that like sometimes single old ladies can hold up entire developments because they're willing to go to these city council meetings over and over and over again, and she'll be at every city planning meeting. I had, outside of my apartment, I had a very annoying stoplight that I'm pretty sure was on a timer with no sensors, and I always, when I'm leaving my neighborhood, I always turn left out of here. And I was so happy when the city put the like when you go to hang somebody, you know, you put like the covering over them, like they covered all these lights, they were getting rid of them, they had a sign up saying that they were going to replace it with a stop sign. I was super happy. And one day I had this old lady that knocked on my door and she had a petition and she was like, we're trying to save the stoplight, can you sign this? And I just kind of like laughed it off. I was like, no, I'm good. And I just thought it was so stupid. I was like, how dumb. And yeah, lo and behold, it was probably a month or two later, I'm like sitting at the intersection and I'm sitting at the stoplight and I've noticed I'm at the stoplight again, and then the hoods are removed and they changed their plans, I guess, to remove the stoplight because of whatever people she was working with, they saved this stupid stoplight that I hated. But yeah, like that's a small example. I've heard of tons of other examples at the local level where people, yeah, can just participate, find ways to show up. You say, like, showing up is important. I imagine showing up today is even more important than ever, because who knows online, unfortunately, what's real or what's not real, or what text messages or phone calls or robocalls or whatever. So if you're willing to go in person, that's probably a much bigger deal, you know, today even. I'm curious, when did you publish your book? When did it come out?
Yeah, so the book just came out in January of this year, so just a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I worked on it for 2 years. It came out in January of this year. So far, so good. I've been doing some book events around Connecticut, and we'll get around to New England. But my hope is that it just finds a home with people. You know, I really wanted to do it in a how-to style, just to teach people. Nothing that I talked about, I think, has a short shelf life. And I wanted to write about it in a nonpartisan way, because as partisan as I may be, I thought, you know what, I don't think it would be appealing to write something with the crass politics, because my book is really not in response to any one president or any one candidate. I wanted to have a long shelf life where people can learn. As I learn new stuff, we can update the book, but it's pretty thorough. It's almost 300 pages. And I love your example of the old lady with the streetlight, and that shows you, unless you're going to tell me she was, you know, married to the mayor or something, but that shows you the power of advocacy, right? Mm-hmm. And elected officials, like you said, being responsive to those that are getting in front of them, right? Wasn't it Abraham Lincoln who said public sentiment is everything? So what are they hearing? What are they feeling? And if she had a petition, even with some people, that's more than maybe the other side was seeing. So elected officials are in the business of trying to find a resolution, but they're also very focused on what's in front of them and what's the advocacy that's in front of them. And whole nother conversation is how we meet. But as you said, these meetings are in person. And so going in a way that is tangible makes a big effort. I remember when I first ran for office, their meetings were Wednesdays at 10 a.m. I'm like, I work. No wonder why everyone that serves in this local office is a retiree. And that's wonderful. But, you know, can we move these? And they moved it to 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. That wasn't much better.
Yeah.
And then they moved it to 6 p.m. And then I said, okay, like, thank you. You know, if we truly want a representative board, if we really want the citizen government that we're supposed to have, these meetings really should be happening evenings. And most, I think, do. I think some may put it on a morning, but most of the time you will find city council meetings, commission meetings, they usually are on a weeknight. And so that at least allows some flexibility for people that are working and want to get involved. And I think that's important. People that are living their life, young people, working people, people that are having a job, those are the very people who we should get involved in these boards, commissions, eventually think about running for the state legislature, because we have a citizen government where real people were supposed to step up and serve in these posts.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I have flashbacks to when I was working, having like bank hours from like 9 to 5, or when there are clearly times where it's like, if you ever want to participate in something, you have to either take a day off work or, you know, hope that or get a friend to do something very obnoxious. Something I'm curious about, when I do debates, or if there's like a new topic before me, sometimes I have to write a lot out. And in the process of either taking notes or just writing out an argument and going back and forth, sometimes in the process of kind of solidifying that thought process, I kind of will relearn a thing or figure something out that I hadn't before. I'm being a little abstract here, but I'm curious, when you went to write this book and then you were trying to start from nothing to where, I guess, to the end point of what you had accomplished and what you wanted to, I guess, crystallize in writing, what was the most surprising thing in looking back at everything? Was there something you learned or relearned, I guess, about that? Does that make sense? Like when you were writing this, we were like, you know, I think this is more important than I thought initially, or just something, I guess, that stood out to you more that you didn't realize until you started putting it down on paper?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First, writing writing a book is a process. I'm not a writer. I had this idea. I'm not typically a writer, but because it was literally my lived experience of being a volunteer, being a campaign manager, running for office, managing others, then, you know, getting involved in party leadership, I put everything I knew and I just wrote ferociously for weeks, and that turned into months. And then I thought, I think I have something here. I think there is a story here. I think this has value. This could help people. Then I kind of went back and I chunk stuff together, and I kind of did the book in a chronological order, starting with literally as a kid, you hear about politics, you hear about the dining room conversations with your folks about rising price of goods or gas prices, and you're already being introduced to politics without really realizing it. And then it kind of builds as you go through, you know what, I want to get more involved, I want to run for office, and it scales up. And it makes you realize, wow, I've had so many experiences, some things we kind of don't want to remember, we kind of repress. And so reflecting on at least 20 years of work for me was really interesting, and kind of centered me to think, wow, it made me think about experiences I hadn't thought about in a long time, difficult conversations, the conversations and the things that are said to like a young candidate, the way some people might make you feel, kind of revisiting a lot of that, because you're moving people through a process that's really difficult. If this was easy, you know, we wouldn't be where we are right now. So really difficult to put yourself out there, especially at a young age where you already have like insecurities, and then putting yourself out there. And I think that's important, especially for young people to know you should get involved. But I think what I learned, the biggest lesson, and it's not surprising, but like you say, you know, you may not think about it until you really write it all down, is relationships make all the difference. Just meeting people, learning who is where, when you then need something to know, I met that person, you know, at such and such organization, or that person ran for office and I might want to pursue that now, and I'm going to talk to them. Just at an early age, I met so many people in politics, and it was totally overwhelming because I was like a kid. But just meeting people and those relationships so come in handy, because later when you find yourself running for a major position or for a party leadership position, you will have met these people. And just like the door knocking scenario, people tend to like who they've met before, who they feel like some familiarity with, some level of trust. And so to me, in thinking about your question, it comes down to relationships are really important, and meeting people and engaging with people. And it's increasingly more difficult to do that, right? We're all very much behind our screens and not always in person. You know, when I graduated college at the height of that Great Recession, you know, every like young professionals group was having a mixer every week. That doesn't happen anymore. So yeah. I think it's more difficult to connect, but it's really important to have relationships, because if you want to be successful, this is still the people business, and you have to be able to work with people and develop relationships with people as you move through this political arena.
Yeah, my background, long, long time ago, I used to be in pro gaming, and going to like conventions and everything and meeting sponsors or people that work for these companies, the difference between shooting a completely cold email to, you know, Logitech or Corsair and being like, hey, I'm blah, 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 versus being able to shoot an email to a person and be like, hey, we met at whatever, it was cool chatting, I'm just curious, well, it's a world of difference in terms of the response that you get from people, for sure. Is there anything else, I guess, besides... Or not besides, yeah. Is there anything else you want to bring up? I've linked do you mainly prefer to sell on Amazon is the link that I see?
Yeah, Amazon is great. I will tell you just what I've tried to do is I've tried to emphasize shopping local, this whole idea of kind of being in person, being there for your community. So the book is available everywhere. You could go to your local bookstore, but it is absolutely on Amazon. Organizing to Win, The Art and Science of Running for Office. It's available everywhere. I worked with a small publisher, and I have to say it was really nice to work with a small publisher, small team. No AI was involved in this, no ghostwriter, all me and a small team. One of the things I wanted to do in the book, and I appreciate your gaming background, I used to design websites when it was HTML. Okay. And before all this, but I used to love kind of the internet early onset would design websites. But what I wanted to do was make it a really visual book. So, you know, because if I'm explaining how to do something, you know, I don't want it to be boring at all. So we incorporated a ton of infographics. So I have, you know, different ways to look at a district. We're going to give you some examples of what a street would look like and talk about like what doors you would knock on and what you wouldn't knock on. So the book is kind of fun and engaging as you go through. If you want to run for office, how many votes do you need? You know, pretty simple math. So just to make the book really engaging, and as you're reading, you're also getting these, I wanted to feel like we were sitting kind of in a campaign headquarters and there was a whiteboard there. So very much like whiteboard infographics. And then there's downloadable QR codes as well. So that once people get the book, you actually could just take the QR code, and these are free. And you can have the QR code forever. So if you just want to kind of pass it on to a friend or use the door knocking checklist before you go door knocking, I wanted it to be really, really helpful for people. So lots of kind of visuals as well. And I really appreciate all that you do and really talking to people and creating kind of a community online. I think it's really important, however we're engaging, that we are connecting. And there are some who would like to tear all these systems down and have people not talk, but we have to talk, we have to engage, we have to focus on these issues, however people do it, online, offline. But you got to stay involved and you got to vote, because we can't let them win. We have to show that people are voting, and we will vote in mass this year and every year and save this democracy.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I try to get my audience as activated as possible. Yeah, I appreciate the chat. I'm not trying to kick you out. I just don't have anything else. Is there anything else you want to bring up? Anything? My next thing's not for 12 minutes, so I got time. If there's anything else you want to chat about, yeah. Wait, real quick, you mentioned going back to work or college during the financial crisis. What year were you born?
So I was born in 87. Okay, I graduated college in 09.
Okay.
So I graduated college in 09, which was a great recession. And I think I was working for a company and they let me stay on part-time, which I was grateful for, because I was literally graduating and all my friends like couldn't find work. It was like the financial meltdown. I was in New York City.
Yeah.
And so I was working, you know, part-time for this company, happy just to job. I had family friends that said, you know, so-and-so is running for mayor, you should get involved with him. And I had no idea one could even volunteer on a campaign. I thought I'd pursue maybe business. I was really into kind of tech. Thought maybe that would be kind of a place to go. I'm in New York City, but I, you know, many of us, we love our hometowns. I came back, it sucked me right back. And I found myself getting back and getting involved. But, so there's curveballs thrown at you in life, and you're just on a path, you know, and find ways to kind of maximize every either opportunity or hand that's dealt to you, and find how can you make this work, you know, for yourself. And if you're back home, think about ways you could really make a difference.
Cool. Okay. I graduated from high school in 2007. I was born in 88. So I vibe a little bit with the entering the job market at a very inopportune time and everything. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That's great. And when did you start this whole effort on Discord?
On for the streaming stuff, I think around in like 2010, basically, yeah, end of 2010. Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, if there's anything, I guess if there's anything specific that ever comes up, or if you ever want to chat about anything, you know, in particular, feel free to shoot me a message or an email. You can always hop on and we can chat about whatever. Yeah.
Very much. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Thank you.